We want to wrap up our series that we started early in the fall called Power to Change. And I wanted to give the concluding message that I've titled, Keep Trusting. Keep Trusting. We're going to look at just a few verses in 1 Corinthians 10 in the theme of Keep Going that we started last Sunday. Keep Trusting. Starting in verse 11. And we'll just read to verse 13. Apostle Paul writes this, Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is God's word. We began to, in this final message in the Power to Change series, talk about importance of perseverance, of not giving up, to hang in there, to keep going. And we conclude with that theme by the encouragement, how do you keep going? You do it as God's children by keep trusting. Keep trusting him. And we began last Sunday reminding ourselves, as Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, to remind them that they aren't as strong as they think they were. Paul tells them, don't overestimate your strength and security in your status before God. Don't put an over amount of weight on your experiences, on your heritage, on your abilities, but always keep a humble estimate of yourself that you may depend upon God and not your own strength and the things that you like to find security in. And so we began with that. You aren't as strong as you think you are. And then secondly, last Sunday, we talked about live in the present and not in the past. And Paul, in this passage in 1 Corinthians 10, reminds us that no matter how great our experiences have been in the past with God and in our lives, don't over-rely on past experiences in your present lives. It is, and we talked about this, the present. Your present faithfulness that is most determinative. For any of us who have done this church thing for a while, I think it's very easy to place our security in experiences, in ministries, in titles, in positions, in encounters with God and with his people, and to find security in that when in the present we are not really walking with God. And so there is that warning there. Celebrate the past, yes. And we talked about you cannot survive on yesterday's manna that you had 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 10 years ago, or 30 years ago. It has to be fresh. It has to be constant. It has to be daily. And that is critically important as we are reminding ourselves, how do you keep going? Thank God for the things in the past, but live in the present. Now these things, Paul writes in verse 11, happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And then Paul gives a very stark warning to the Corinthian church as they think about their past and for those who can trace their descent to the Jewish people in the Corinthian church, to that spiritual heritage, and those that were even teachers, tremendously gifted, used by God. He gives them this warning, and here we go. Number three, you never graduate from temptations. You never graduate from temptations. And we saw last week, as we thought about the story of the Israelite people that Paul is referring to, what other people have experienced being fed manna from heaven? Or as the slide that we saw last week, being led by God. And we put that picture up there, by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. I'm happy in the wintertime if the snow is plowed that, oh, wow, God is good, and I'm a happy man. Imagine a pillar of fire to guide you, not a figurative or spiritual, literal fire and a literal cloud. Imagine that. And all that the Israelites experienced, the Exodus generation saw it all. And yet Paul uses them as an example. Look how badly they fell, though their experiences with God were unlike any other in the history of mankind. And yet, look how far that they fell. And so he's urging the church, how do you keep going? How do you keep moving on? How do you persevere? We would do well to take to heart this warning that we are never above temptation. We aren't as strong and secure as we think we are. And as soon as our pride begins to mark our ways, that is when we're being set up for a major fall. I don't care if you're a missionary, you're a pastor, you're a counselor, you are a Christian leader, you have led boards in a church. Present day faithfulness is most determinative. And the humble heart is one that knows that at any moment we can go a wrong direction. The natural mode of my heart is to stray and to get lost and to mess up my life and hijack my own life, and sometimes I wound others. And so we keep watch over our souls. The Exodus generation fell into gross immorality, seduced by the Moabites. Numbers 25. Number 21. They tested the Lord. They didn't see God working in the ways that they expected and desired after being delivered out of slavery, being led by the cloud at day and the pillar of fire at night. And yet the people grew impatient, and instead of trusting in God, they fell into unbelief. And they sinned greatly against God and fell. When we often do not see God at work in our lives the way in which we expect or feel like we deserve, be careful. Because that is when we are on most dangerous ground. The Exodus generation fell greatly. Immorality, unbelief. When temptations, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, what exactly does that mean? Or trials, it's actually the same word. We begin to question, is God still good? How can he love me and my loved ones? Be very careful. And we all test God subtly. We would never say it. Lord, if you say you really love me, then blank. We don't say it. but we feel it and speak it in our hearts. If you're honest with yourselves, we love doing these mini tests, and it actually is unbelief. Even for God's children that have seen and experienced so much in our lives. Immorality. Unbelief. And thirdly, in the Israelites, the Exodus generation, the grumbling heart against the Lord. Number 16. You can look it up, read through it. Grumbling against God-ordained leaders, Moses, Aaron. A grumbling heart is one that is calloused, that becomes indifferent, that has a bitter spirit. And when we allow ourselves to slip into that state, it is very dangerous ground. Yes, we are going to get hurt in our lives. People, I guarantee you, will disappoint you, will discourage you, even spiritual leaders. And when we are hurt by people or experiences in our lives, we must not withdraw from God and His Word and His people, but rather we must run and sprint as if our lives depended upon it, back to Him, back to His Word, and back to the fellowship of His people. Because once we fall into that grumbling heart, that indifference, that bitterness, we become numb to the goodness and character of God and the history of His faithfulness throughout the course of your life. The wise person will be able to detect that quickly and run back to God as fast as they can. Grumbling clouds the eyes of our hearts to develop cataracts that we cannot see Him clearly. And that is the first step from no longer persevering. We have to be extremely careful. And the sin underneath all these examples of ways in which we can crash and burn and no longer keep going is idolatry. And we see that physically manifested among the Israelites, Exodus 32, worshiping the golden calf and indulging in revelry. How could this be when you see God at work so clearly and yet at a moment's notice they begin to exchange the one true God who loves them for false gods? It's not just the Israelites, it's not just the church at Corinth, but it is you and I today, right now. I love Tim Keller, but looking at this quote, it was actually, this is where he gets a lot of his stuff, Martin Luther, which he says this, whatever your heart clings to and relies upon, that is your God. Trust and faith of the heart, Luther says, alone make both God and idol. I don't care how long you have walked with Jesus, I don't care what positions you have served in ministry that God has used you to accomplish for His kingdom and for His glory. What does your heart cling to in your lives? What do you rely upon to fulfill you, to give you joy, to help the feelings of insignificance and loneliness and absurdity make sense in your life? And often it isn't Jesus. And I'm the first one to confess that. And whatever that is your functional God. Luther is spot on. And it's a warning to realize what is the sin beneath all other sins. Whatever our hearts cling to and rely upon, that is your God. That is what you are trusting in. And we would do well to stop fooling ourselves and to see what we gravitate towards when we feel down, when we feel empty, when we feel lonely, when we are angry, when we're disappointed. What do we turn to try to make those feelings go away? The gospel reminds us, it is find your joy in Jesus. But often, that's not whom we turn to, even as children of God. That grumbling spirit, that exchange of the one true God for false ones is a dangerous place to be. That's why the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 3:12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has what? A sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need to remind ourselves of that. Even as the holidays are at hand, can you believe some people have already put up their Christmas tree lights? Or is that you guys? My goodness. That's great. And the holidays can be both a time of great joy and happiness and memories, as well as a time of deep sadness, emptiness, and loneliness. Once we begin to go down that path of woe is me, my life stinks. Where is God? I thought he loves me. I thought he cares for me. It is when we begin to go down that path, wake up. Realize you are on dangerous ground. Don't blame God. Don't blame the church. Don't blame people that God has put into your life to show you his love. What have you done for me lately becomes your heart's song. And once you go down that path, it's a dangerous place to be. We are reminded from verse 13, as we think about how then do we keep going, we keep trusting. Trust what? Is it a blind trust? Is it a trust somewhere up in the sky? What are we to trust? It is this: God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Fourthly and finally, remember God's character during your trials. Remember his character during trials. Trust in the unchanging character of God and his promises during times of trials, testing, and temptation. Because we often don't do that. We begin to doubt his character. We look to other things. We fall into idolatry, yes. And once we do that, we won't be able to keep on keeping on. Trust in the character of God. Trust him deeply when things don't make sense and when you are in a time of temptation and trial. The way of escape that Paul is talking about is the same word as Exodus, deliverance. Whatever we are going through in our lives, God is faithful. Amen? He is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability. And whenever that time comes, he will also provide a way of escape, a way out. I think the NIV translates it, that you may be able to endure it, to stand. Bible teacher Anthony Thistleton says, God always provides his people with a choice and with an exit path. Please burn away and nuke the caricatures of God who is trying to make you slip up and trying to tempt you so that you would sin, and he's testing you. No, that is not biblical. We have these animation and cartoon figures of God trying to see how much we love him and testing us to sin or not. We would do well to remind ourselves of James 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Don't blame God. And don't give the devil more credit than he is due. The devil made me do it. Or God, why did you put that temptation there? Or why am I going through this time? Every temptation has a dual nature. And we looked at this a couple years back when we went through the book of James. The word temptation and test or trial is the same word. And that's very helpful to know. Every situation you find yourselves in, even as you drive back home from this service in a few minutes and begin to eat yourselves a mighty large turkey feast during this holiday week, there is a dual nature of the situations you find yourselves in. Either it will be a trial that will strengthen you in your faith and in your life and your character, or it will be a temptation to which you give in. Don't blame the devil and don't blame God, that will weaken you and they will seek to destroy you. It will be depending on how you choose to respond to it. God does not tempt us so that we will be led into sin, but he allows situations to happen that we might, through obedience, yes, I'll use that word, obedience, follow him and trust him, that it becomes a trial that strengthens us in the end, trusting in his character. God is faithful, and he is unchanging, unlike us, by which the circumstances, our emotions, our moods. For me, when it's not sunny out, I get really discouraged. I'm affected by the weather. My goodness. And so are you. That's how fickle we are. That's how double-minded we are, as James talks about. Yet God is unchanging and faithful. And what we find in the story of Scripture, the story of redemption, is an unchanging God who can be relied upon and depended upon far more than your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your job, your health, and yourself. He is faithful. Every trial brings a potential for temptation. Bible scholar Doug Moo says this: financial difficulty can tempt us to question God's providence in our lives. The death of a loved one can tempt us to question God's love for us. The suffering of the righteous, poor, and the ease of the wicked rich can tempt us to question God's justice or even his existence. Thus, testing almost always includes temptation, and temptation is itself a test. And what will help us navigate through it is what Satan tried to do and did accomplish in that test back in Eden. Did God really say, what is he holding back from me? If I do this, wouldn't I experience a greater fulfillment and happiness going it, doing it my way? Did God really say it was an assault on the character, the love, the faithfulness, and the trust of Creator God, our Father? Can any of us relate to some of these circumstances that Doug Moo is outlining for us? In every situation we find ourselves in, we must always keep in mind that dual possibility. Will it become a trial that ultimately strengthens us as we depend upon him? Or will it be a temptation that puts us in a downward spiral path toward destruction? It is remembering the character of God that will make all the difference in the world, because there are times and circumstances we cannot understand or at times fathom in this side of heaven. But we just like James cries out, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Tim Keller warns us of our wandering hearts. The essence of sin isn't just wanting bad, evil things, but wanting things, even good things, too badly. It is an over-desire. That's where we need to guard our hearts the most. When it's not obvious, dark, heinous, evil things that we are lusting after, though it might be some of those things, but often it is good things that we desire too badly, an over-desire, where we need to be extremely careful. God never leaves us without hope or an escape. He promises in his word, no temptation has seized you. And so we cling to the character and the word of God and the testimony of his people. Jesus reminds us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you lean into that? Do you trust him at his word that you aren't alone, even when you feel so desperately alone? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the word, the scriptures, that we might have hope. God's character, his heart, as we read about in his word, ultimately gives us hope. And like the writer of the most beloved hymn, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And so this past fall, we looked at a couple things as we come to the end of our time in the Power to Change series. We are reminded that change is possible because of the Holy Spirit who works in us to transform us the way we live. We talked about how spending time with Jesus changes you, because the more you know him and listen to him, the more you will be like him. You'll live like him. We talked about a couple weeks ago, confession. Confession breaks open the shame we live in and allows the Holy Spirit to set us free. And fourthly, the local church and the community you surround yourself with helps you keep fear at bay. We need each other as we grow in Christ together. And fifthly, spiritual disciplines helps you connect with Jesus and establish healthy rhythms as we find ourselves in crazy, unpredictable times. And finally, perseverance is a necessity. It is a necessity. Keep going. But keep trusting in the character of God. Yes, it is not easy to hear that we are not as strong as we think we are, but that causes us to be humble and depend upon Him. Live in the present, not just in the past. We should always be ready to share new testimonies of what God is presently doing in our lives, not just rehashing the testimonies from 20 years ago. New testimonies are forming of God's faithfulness and love when you are walking step by step in Him. You never graduate from temptations. I don't care how you have served, what you've experienced. You have been led by pillars of fire and cloud in your life and tasted manna from heaven. Praise God! But so what? What are you doing today? And finally, let us always keep in mind that we are to remember the character and heart and faithfulness of God through even the most difficult of times of trial that we find in our way. And you will find over and over again, God is faithful. This is the God I pray you will come to know over and over again. This is how we will keep on keeping on. Let's pray. One of my favorite phrases from the Psalms, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. When times are crazy and I'm hurting, don't run from Him and run from God's people and blacklist the church, but rather run towards Him. Open up the word. As imperfect as we as the church are, run back to the body of Christ, the church. You cannot make it on your own. We're all fallen. We're all imperfect. We're all sinners. And yet in the midst of it, we find a kind of love that flows from our head, Jesus Christ, poured upon His body, the church. Keep moving. Keep trusting. Pray with me, Lord, as we have been reminded of sometimes the challenges that we find in our lives, and sometimes we want to just jettison it all as we go through times of question, doubt, many who are deconstructing their faith, their upbringing, everything. I pray that we would look to the one who is faithful, whose love has been constant in our lives, who has poured out His love and grace over and over and over again when we often have grumbling hearts, hearts that don't want to believe. We don't turn to You, Lord, for our joy, but we turn to our kids, our spouse. We turn to money. We turn to pleasure. We turn to security. We turn to ourselves. Lord, I pray that You would burn those things away and remind us of the love like no other found in the person of Jesus. Teach us as we begin and we kick off the holiday season and think about Thanksgiving to turn to You and say thank You first. For you are the one that indeed has shown us your love and your faithfulness. So Lord, we give you thanks. Help us to return back to you and to keep trusting as we keep going and experience your change as we pursue you and your passion for people. Amen.